In some ways, I like funerals of those who've lived a good, long, productive life. Because at those funerals, I'm reminded of my mortality. I'm reminded that life doesn't just go on here, that there is something else, something beyond this life. What can we know about that? What can we know about the afterlife? That's part of what we'll be looking at in this series. And I just want to say here, if you have questions, because this morning I might raise more questions than I answer, okay? But if you have questions about heaven, send me a little email or write a note and put it in my mailbox or give me a call. And if I can, I'll try to talk about those questions. I'm not going to promise you how well I'm going to answer them, but I'll talk about those questions in this series. So if you have a question that you're thinking of, drop me a line, let me know about that, and I'll see if somewhere along the way I can address those questions. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, "It's destined that each person dies only once, and after that comes judgment." There is a day of judgment, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. There's a day of judgment, and we kind of have to get to that before we get to heaven. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. In Matthew, we want to see what does the New Testament, what do we hear about this day of judgment in the New Testament? Matthew 25, Jesus told a story there, told a parable. He told the parable of the sheep and the goats. And in this parable, you know that it says, he opens this way, "When the Son of Man comes in glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him." So he's talking about when he returns. So when Jesus returns, he says, "I'm going to be seated on the throne. Everybody, all the nations will be gathered before me." And it says that he will separate the sheep from the goats. He says, "Then I'll say to the ones on my right hand, I'll say to the sheep, come, you who are blessed of my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." And then he tells them how he says, "I was hungry and I was thirsty and I was in prison and you served me. You helped to take care of me." And those on the right say, when did we see you this way? And he said, "Whenever you've done it to one of the least of these little ones, whenever you've helped them, served them, ministered to them, you've done it for me." And then he says to those on the left, he says, "Depart from me, you who are cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And then again he says, "Because I was hungry and I was thirsty and I was in prison and you didn't help. You didn't do anything for me." And they said, "When did we see you that way?" And he said, "Whenever you saw one of these little ones this way and you didn't help, you didn't help me." And he ends this passage by saying, he will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So Jesus is saying here in this parable, he says, there's going to be this judgment, and based on what you have done in your life, how you've ministered to these, you will be on the right or the left. You will go into eternal punishment or eternal life. That's what he's saying here in Matthew. There's a number of other places that speak about this day of judgment. Matthew 16:27. This is after Jesus has told about his own death, and then he's told the disciples, "Take up the cross, lose your life so that you can gain your life." And then he says this, "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done." There's a day of judgment, and we're judged based on our actions in this life, it tells us. Romans 2, 6 and 8 says this, "God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger based on what we've done. 2 Corinthians 5:10. As Paul speaks here about our desire for our heavenly dwelling and our groaning in our earthly dwelling here, this is what he says. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. 1 Peter 1:17 says, since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Again, he says, he judges each man's work, what we've done. There's a day of judgment. The judgment is based on how we live our lives. It's interesting that in the New Testament, with so much focus on grace, virtually every passage on the judgment speaks of judgment according to our deeds in our lives. God is a just God. We all desire justice, at least when we think about others, right? When we think about, we have this sense of justice in us that when we see somebody that we think is getting away with something, we want it to be made right. We don't want them to get away with it. Now, we don't always feel the same way when we're getting away with something, right? Often you say, man, somebody needs to get it right with me. I'm getting away with murder here. We don't say that, but we often say it about others. We're often aggravated. We have this sense of justice. Well, our God is a God of justice. So that's one of the things that this shows us. God is just. He takes what we do, and there's a judgment for that, for the way that we live our lives. God doesn't just forget about it or wink at it. There's a judgment based on what we do, how we live our lives. It also shows us that there's this continuity between this life and the next life. What's happening here in this life has something to do with what's going to happen in the next life. Where we're at now, there's some continuity with that. And as we go through this series, I think it's one of the things we're going to see. There's some continuity between this world and the next world, between here and heaven. I don't know if you ever thought about heaven that way. It's not totally different, perhaps, than what it is here. There's certainly some differences, but there's some real continuity. A quote from the movie Gladiator, "What we do in life echoes in eternity." It's an idea that many in the world have. What we do here echoes in eternity. Matthew Henry, a pastor, a theologian, said it ought to be the business of every day to prepare for our last day. He sees something of what we're doing now having something to do with what's coming up. So we have a problem here. How can we know if we've done enough good for this day of judgment? If it's based on what we've done. In fact, we're told in the scriptures that no one measures up to the glory of God, that the wages of sin is death. And so we're actually told in the scriptures we won't be able to measure up. We might be able to find somebody in the world that we could compare ourselves with and say, compared to him, I've done a lot better than he has. But we don't get to do that. The measurement is with God's standard. And the scriptures tell us none of us measure up. So at that point, this day of judgment doesn't look too good. Let's turn to John 5, 24 to 29. And turn in your Bibles there because I don't think I have that one on the overhead. John 5, 24 to 29. Because this speaks about judgment here as well. John 5, starting in verse 24. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word, and this is Jesus speaking, and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. Jesus says, whoever believes in him, that's the Father, and him who sent me, has eternal life and will not be condemned. Jesus is speaking to this judgment. And Jesus says, when you believe in me, when you put your faith in me, you will have life and you will not be condemned in this judgment. So we have good news here. Because if we just leave it at the judgment based on what we do and what we don't do, we're in trouble. But there's good news here for us. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned, for he has crossed over from death to life. Doesn't even say he will, he says he has. Life starts now. Eternal life starts now. When we believe in Christ, when we put our faith in Christ. It's not just something yet to come, it begins now. Again, we see this continuity between now and what's to come. So this eternal life has already begun for those who are in Christ. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. And so we see again here it speaks of the judgment and it speaks of how we live our lives. But on top of all of that, we have Jesus saying, when you believe in me, when you put your trust and your faith in me, the verdict of this judgment will be assured. In Christ, we are assured of the verdict of the judgment. Not because we've been so good, but because we've trusted Christ. There'll be a positive verdict for us in that way. We find this throughout the Scripture as well. In Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. Good news. John 3:18, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. When Jesus was speaking to Mary before he raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He asks her, do you believe this? He asks us, do you believe this? Do you believe that by faith in Christ you will live? John 20:31, but these are written, that's all that was written in the Gospel of John, all the things about Jesus. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And finally, 1 John 5:11-13 says this, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. There's assurance of the outcome of this judgment, assurance of the verdict. These things were written so that you'll know that, so that we can have that assurance. We can have that assurance in Christ of what the outcome of that judgment will be. Without Christ, there is no assurance. We find that assurance only in Christ. for those who are willing to say, yes, I'm a sinner. I can't make it through this judgment on my own. I need you, Lord. I need your grace in this. There's assurance. Assurance of a positive outcome. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says this, "It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God." Paul's saying here in 1 Corinthians, God is the judge. And when we read about judgment, sometimes we find God on the judgment seat. Sometimes we find Jesus on the judgment seat. I think in Revelation 21, we find both God and Jesus on the throne. So God and Jesus are the judge. They're the ones who judge. God's the judge, and we don't need to be the judge. God is the judge. That's what this tells us here in 1 Corinthians. Sometimes I can get sidetracked asking questions about, well, what about children? What about those who lived before Christ? What about those who never had a chance to hear about Christ? What about those who say they trust and believe Christ, but they don't appear to be living that way? The problem is when I get sidetracked, I fail to confront my own condition, my own need for God's grace. If I'm judged according to my deeds without Christ, there's no assurance for me about what the verdict will be. I don't want to face that judgment that way. I want the assurance of being in Christ. I want everyone possible to have that assurance. So that's why I'll tell them about Jesus Christ. I want them to have that assurance. We can have that assurance now about the verdict when we meet God on that day. God, the judge, knows the hearts and the motives of all those others that I may have questions about. I don't have to figure it all out. No, I think there's some things that we can still learn from the Bible, and I'll just address one of those this morning in terms of children. How do you know about children? Children who perhaps aren't ready to show their faith in Christ. Do we have to do something? Well, I think what you have to do is we have to get to know the judge. What's the judge like? Jesus is the judge. How did Jesus treat children? He said, let them come to me. He blessed them. The disciples, they kind of thought Jesus was a little too busy for the children. They said, just stay away. Don't bring your kids to Jesus. And what did Jesus say? He said, no, bring the children to me. And it says he took them and he blessed them. We know the judge. We can know the judge's character. Because it doesn't explicitly say in the Bible, well, this is the condition of children. We've come up with some ideas about that. But I think the ideas are based on what we know about the character of the judge. And so some of those other groups, we'll talk about that a little bit throughout this series as well. But the real issue is for me, God is the judge. I don't need to be. I don't have to figure out everybody else. There are some things that we're called to judge about what's right and what's wrong, but I don't have to judge everybody else's condition or what the verdict will be for them. What I need is assurance and to offer them assurance that in Jesus Christ we know the outcome of the verdict when we are willing to put our faith in Him, to trust Him, and to obey Him. How can we pass a judgment of works based on faith in Christ? How does that work out? Just a couple more verses to share with you. 2 Corinthians 5:20 and 21 says this, We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's how it works. Jesus became sin for us. Jesus took the punishment for sin. Jesus took the consequences of our sin, and he took it upon himself. And he gave to us, he who had no sin, gives to us the righteousness of God. That's what explains how we make it through this judgment of works. And then in Hebrews 9, 27 and 28, it says this, just as a man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. That's how that works. Jesus has taken the punishment for us. And we make it through that judgment for that reason. I'd like to ask the worship team to come. They're going to lead us in a song. But as we begin to talk about heaven, this is where our assurance comes from, that we have some part in that. The assurance comes in Jesus Christ and our putting our faith in him. And so I just encourage you this morning, if you've not put your faith in Jesus Christ, there is a day of judgment that comes. I call on you to put your faith in him. If you've put your faith in him, then know that what we do in this world has something to do with what the next is like. Please stand, let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you are a God of justice. Lord, you don't let us just get away with sin. And Father, we know that we've all fallen short. We've all sinned. None of us, Lord, can erase that sin by any good deeds or good things that we do. But Lord, you've done that for us. You've taken the consequences of our sin. You gave your life for that. And all you do is you ask us now, Lord, to ask for your forgiveness. Trust that you give us that you pour out your grace in our lives, and to now let you be the Lord of our lives. And so, Father, what we do matters. How we live our lives matters. But you have promised us in Jesus Christ eternal life, and you have prepared a home for us. And so I ask, Father, that you would fill our hearts as we learn about that in the coming weeks. Lord, as we learn, may we also understand, Lord, that how we're living our lives now, that matters, Lord. It has something to do with eternity. And allow us, Lord, as we receive your grace, to rest in that and to allow you to transform us. In Jesus' name.